And if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. I'd like to visit with us on the subject, a faith that pleases God. A faith that pleases God. Sometime back, my family had a dog. Matter of fact, this dog lived to be 17 and a half years old before he died. But there was a time in the life of our dog when he developed this big growth at his mouth. It's hard to look at because it got so big. And we did what most people typically do when you see a disease come up like that. We went to Google. And you know, whether it's a disease or something, an anomaly with an animal or even yourself, when something's amiss, we try to diagnose our own issues, right? And that's, of course, what we tried to do with Coco and said, so we went to the internet to try to figure out what was going on with the dog. And I learned from the internet that he had some disease that originated in the Congo. And you know, because that's the kind of response that you get when you self-diagnose yourself and look for things, you know, on the internet, WebMD, whatever the case may be. And so we called our veterinarian, and our family went with the dog to our veterinarian's office, and we all gathered around tearfully the table. Coco's up on the table, and we're ready to say our goodbyes. We're even holding hands at one point, and in comes our veterinarian, who would break our morning by letting us know that Coco had a ringworm. And he got it from eating dirt. Yeah. It got me to thinking, why in the world, when we have these kind of things happen in our life, do we retreat to self-help and think the worst when trials and troubles and challenges come our way? Well, in part, it's because sometimes we lack faith, don't we? And that was certainly the case for us. Our faith is challenged all the time, isn't it? I mean, our faith is challenged by world events today. Our faith could be challenged by a medical diagnosis. It can be challenged by a broken relationship. Sometimes our faith is challenged when a pastor calls on a Saturday night and says, I need you to preach tomorrow morning. There's all kinds of things that challenge our faith. It's challenged all the time. And the way that we respond to these challenges sometimes can be an indicator of the depth of our faith. So I've come to learn that we do many things that rob us of the abundant life that God has for us simply because we lack faith. We don't like change. We want everything to remain the same when we're tested or challenged. The natural inclination, matter of fact, is to retreat to the safe, to the normal, isn't it? We want to be comfortable. We want to be predictable. But in the spiritual realm, I want to tell you, that's boring. It's not what the Lord has intended for us. But why do we do that? Quite often, it's because we lack faith. And this can really be a problem for folk who consider themselves to be people of faith. According to the Bible, a life in Christ is anything but safe, comfortable, or predictable. So consequently, we could be robbing ourselves of experiencing all that God has for us simply because too often we have a lack of faith. And so as we read through our passage this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to consider what was going on with the first hearers of this word. The Jewish Christians who were receiving this word, Hebrews, they were struggling. They were struggling with fierce persecution socially and physically. They were suffering at the hands of both the Jews and of Rome. And so Christ had not yet returned to establish his kingdom, and the people needed to be reassured that Christianity was true and that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. But this pressure got to a lot of them. They wanted to revert back to the old ways of life. They wanted to revert back to living by the law and not living by faith in Jesus Christ. And so in the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, the writer reminds them of two reasons why they needed to remain faithful. First, Jesus was superior to everything. He was better than the prophets. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 remind us that God spoke through his prophets. Now he speaks through his son. He also reminded them that Jesus is better than the angels. While angels are special ministering creatures, they worship God too, just as we do. And salvation is not through angels, but through God's son, Jesus. We learn in chapter 1. He said, Jesus was superior to Moses. Christ is better than Moses, he tells us in chapter 3, the lawgiver. And he even goes on to tell us that Jesus is better than the religious leaders. And the second thing that he wanted them to know is that Jesus was a better priest. In fact, he said that all the promises and all the covenants would be fulfilled in Jesus. They had direct access to him, and he could be trusted. So in our passage today, not only are they encouraged to remain faithful, but they are reminded of the old saints who remained faithful. And these are their examples, and there are examples as well. These are people who show us how to live with a faith that pleases God. And so the first thing that we need to consider this morning is this simple question: what is faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 help us with a definition. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." So it says faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The New King James Version captures this well. It says the substance of things hoped for. The Greek word translated substance is the word hypostasis, and it means setting or placing under, firm. It literally means a firm foundation. It's the same word from which we get confidence, firm trust, and assurance. So faith is the foundation. That is, it is the confidence, firm trust, assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction or certainty of things not seen. So what are some of the things the Old Testament saints were confidently hoping for? Well, they were waiting for the promises of God to be fully realized. For example, they were waiting on the coming of the Lord, we learn in Titus 2:13. They were waiting on the resurrection of the dead, we learn from Acts chapter 24, verse 15. And we're going to read about some of these Old Testament saints in just a minute. But just like the Old Testament saints, our faith may also be certain about things unseen. Like what? Well, for example, the existence of God. 1 Timothy 6:16 reminds us, whom no man has seen or can see. And creation and the beginnings of life. We learn in Genesis that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And so faith is the strong conviction that such matters are true. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or certainty of things not seen. But there's something else that must accompany true faith. Warren Wiersbe says it this way: true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. In other words, true faith operates quite simply. God speaks and we hear his word. We trust his word and act on it no matter what the circumstances are or what the consequences may be. He says, the circumstances may be impossible and the consequences frightening and unknown, but we obey God's word just the same, and believe him to do what is right and just. So then, faith is believing God is who his word says he is, and we obey him in every way in belief, no matter the circumstances or the consequences. And so in these next few verses, what I want us to see then, what are the characteristics of faith? And we're going to see and learn of these characteristics through the saints that are mentioned in the next few verses. So consider first, if you will, Abel. And look what verse 4 says about Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So what are the characteristics that we learn about Abel in this passage? His characteristics of faith was worship and righteousness. Abel offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain, and Abel offered his gift as an act of worship. It could be that Cain didn't offer his first fruits, or maybe his gifts, he just gave them in a perfunctory way, or maybe out of obligation. But whatever the reason, God did not accept the sacrifice, his sacrifice, but he did Abel's and commended him as righteous, as one who follows the way of God. Or consider Enoch. Look in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So Enoch had an interesting characteristic of faith. He walked close with God. That's a characteristic that we all should have, amen? How does one please God? How does one walk with God? And the answer is it's through our relationship. It requires us to spend time with God. It requires us to spend time in his word, obeying his word, spending time in prayer. That's how we cultivate a close relationship with God. The truth is, Enoch pleased God. He was like the man that we read about in Ephesians 5:1. He was an imitator of God. Are you an imitator of God? Or consider Noah. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. What was Noah's characteristics? His characteristic of faith is that he was moved by reverent fear to obedience. Noah obeyed the Lord in spite of the circumstances or consequences he faced from his people. So what circumstances or consequences did he face? Well, let's see. Not knowing if it had actually rained before the flood or not, Noah stepped out in faith to allow God's instructions. Telling the neighbors that God was about to destroy the earth with a flood, maybe that was a consequence, since they might not have seen rain before. Wouldn't you agree? How do you think the neighbors responded? Especially to that big boat in the driveway. The thing I thought to myself when I was reading through this is he didn't live where they had an HOA. Yeah. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the certainty of things unseen. And no one saw this one coming, did they? Noah acted on the assurance that if God said it, it's going to happen. Amen? That is resolute faith. And look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham has two characteristics here. He has the characteristic of faith with total obedience. He was told to go. He didn't know where he was going, and he went. Abraham is an example of when God says go, you go. Another example of conviction of things not seen. His second characteristic of faith was not holding too tightly to the things of this world. He lived as a foreigner in the land. He didn't seek out the world's goods and ways. Interestingly, his people wouldn't occupy this land for another 400 years. He had the promise, but wouldn't see the fulfillment of that promise this side of glory. And he obeyed anyway. Do you want proof when the Lord speaks to you? Abraham didn't ask for proof. The Lord spoke, he obeyed, and he went, and the Lord fulfilled his promise through Abraham. Consider Sarah. Look at verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Sarah and Abraham. Their faith characteristic was trusting God to provide for their needs. Abraham and Sarah had been given a promise that their descendants would fill the land that God had given them. And there was a problem. In order for this promise to be fulfilled, Sarah was barren at the age of 90. So she was a little bit past the age of childbearing. And the scripture also says that Abraham was as good as dead. Now I have to be very careful here because I have a way of saying things that cause parents of young children to ask if they can have a minute of my time after the service. This could be one of those times. It just says that Abraham was good as dead. In other words, he was old. They were both past the age of childbearing. Doesn't say much for Abraham from this Hebrew writer, does it? Nobody wants to be considered dead even though they're alive. But let's say that at the age of Sarah and Abraham, child rearing was not common, but faith requires us to look to God, trusting that he will provide and fulfill his promises no matter our life circumstances. I have to tell you, this is a fun one for me because my mother's 89 years of age. And just the idea of my mother schlepping around a car seat just tickles me to no end. She wouldn't think that was funny, but I did. God promised Abraham and Sarah that their descendants would fill the land, and God fulfilled his promise. Isn't this an awesome fact about our God? He takes things that are dead and brings them back to life. These are some of the characteristics of faith that pleases God. And these are characteristics that we are to apply to our very own life. And as we read through these characteristics, I want you to see there's four common themes about faith that we learn from these Old Testament saints. And what we see here is they were presented with a godly vision. Look at verse 13. It says, they saw the promise of God from afar. A vision shows us how things could be. We have the Ignite vision. And if we follow the Ignite vision, we see how things could be. We could see 1,000 people come to saving faith. Is that not going to be a glorious sight? See, that's what a vision does. It helps you see how things could be. 200 next generation leaders in our church. Many people on the daily Bible reading plan, that in and of itself will help grow people in their faith, in their walk in the Lord Jesus, amen? But that's what a vision does. It shows us how things could be. And so God offered them something far greater than themselves, something far greater than they could ever imagine for themselves, as we read in Ephesians 3:20. Without faith, a vision is just a dream. With faith, the improbable becomes a reality. The second thing I want you to see, four themes that are consistent in the saints that we read about earlier, they responded with a godly confidence. Not only did they see the promises of God from afar, they were assured that these promises were going to happen. Why? Because they each had a history with God. They had each seen God do remarkable things in their life, in their community, in their circle of influence. And what I love about this point is that every person in this room has a history with God where you have seen him do incredible and remarkable things in your life, in your church, in your circle of influence. Amen. And so when we go back and we study this history with God, it builds up a confidence in us because I remember when he did that. I remember when he did that. You know what I'm talking about? I remember he took care of this. I remember he healed this one. And so what happens is he builds this confidence up in himself because we have seen him do great and marvelous things. And when we remember those things, it also grows our faith. It grows our confidence in him. They had seen him do many great things. They knew he could do it again. They had accepted this by faith. Notice the third thing that we see is that the vision filled them with a godly desire. With a godly desire. They embraced the promises God had given them. They had a promise of a possession that they wouldn't even enjoy. It came years later, but their descendants would realize the vision, and that was good enough for these saints that we read about just a few minutes ago. And these saints, number four, were overcome with a godly resolve. They confessed they were strangers and exiles on earth. Their true home was in heaven, not here on earth. So while on earth, they would live as temporary residents, not holding too tightly to the things of this world, so they could live effectively for kingdom purposes. Now, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because I would say that many of us are probably a little guilty of wanting to hold too tightly to the things of this world. Am I right? And when we hold too tightly to the things of this world, sometimes it renders us ineffective for living for kingdom purposes. And so they had a godly resolve that while on earth, they would live as temporary residents, not holding too tightly to the things of this world, because their goal was to live for kingdom purposes. And so I ask you this morning, are these characteristics defining your life? Are they defining my life? As you read God's word and spend time with him, what is the improbable that he wants to make reality in your life? What is it that looks impossible to you this morning, but is quite possible with God? Do you have confidence in God's ability to sustain you in the midst of your greatest challenges? Our challenges can wear us down, can't they? Our challenges can cause us to ask questions like, God, where are you? God, don't you see me? And when we ask those questions, I can tell you where he is, by the way. He's on his throne, where he's always been, where he is not encumbered by anything. There's nothing that can stop him from seeing you, meeting you, addressing the needs that you have in your life, because he's a good God and he's a faithful God. Do you have a desire to see his promises fulfilled in your circumstances and in the world? Do you have a godly resolve that the here and now is only a temporary part of life? We're just passing through. The best is yet to come. As I was thinking through this last night, I was just thinking, you know, matter of fact, I think I was even discussing this last night with some friends, you know, whether we live to be 65, 75, 85, 155, it's still just a blip here compared to eternity. It's just a blip. It's hard for me to fathom. I'll be 65 years of age this week, and all I can say is it didn't take long. It didn't take long. Got here quick. One final question for you as we begin to close. Are you a person of faith? Are you a person of faith? Notice what verse 6 says. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And so does your worship reflect a life of faith like Abel, who brought his very best to the Lord in an act of worship? Are you walking closely with God like Enoch? Are you obedient, moved with a reverent fear like Noah? Are you obedient, willing to go when God says go like Abraham? Are you available, living like an exile or a foreigner like Abraham? Are you trusting God to provide for your needs like Sarah and Abraham? You see, these are our examples. These are our examples. Maybe your faith is struggling right now. What is challenging your faith today? A medical diagnosis? Maybe a wayward child? A broken relationship? A financial issue? Hey, too much news? Maybe overly concerned about this chaotic world that we live in? Listen, it's easy to have faith until life's obstacles challenge and test our faith. But a faith that pleases God doesn't rest on what we can do, but on what Jesus has already done and will continue to do for us. Isn't it awesome that our Savior saw our need for forgiveness, and so he gave himself on the cross to die for each one of us, to pay the sin debt that we should have paid for our own life, and took those sins to the grave. But the better news is that he was raised again. And listen, in that resurrection power, that's why we can live by faith, because this is what he says to all of us today. I got it. I got it. We serve a great Lord. We have a Savior who loves us, who cares for us, and is willing to walk through this life with us. We're just passing through, and the ultimate goal is so that we can be with him in heaven. Amen? And so is your faith, is it being challenged today? I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Matthew 19, 26 again reminds us that with God, all things are possible. And please know, we love you too. We're here for you. We want to pray for and encourage you. If you're experiencing a life challenge today and you just want someone to pray for you, in just a minute, pastors are going to be here. We'll have somebody in the balcony. Have others around that can pray for you. But please don't leave here faithless today. Do what you need to do to live in faith that pleases God. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your love and for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for this reminder from your word. That faith pleases you. And even in the midst of our challenges and our trials and our troubles, we're reminded from this same book of Hebrews that there is not a trial, a temptation that you are not familiar with. You were tried and challenged in the same way, but you persevered. You emerged sinless. You emerged victorious. And now you want to help us overcome the challenges that our faith endures each day. And so, Lord, for those who are struggling with faith today, I pray, God, that you would make the improbability of what they're facing, God, a reality of your grace, that you would help them overcome, Lord, whatever that obstacle, that barrier is, by your personal ministry to them in their greatest time of need. We entrust them to your care and to your great ability. And God, I pray that in these moments, you would move among us. If there's someone here today that doesn't know you, Father, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Lord, I pray if there is someone here today who is being challenged, their faith is being challenged, Lord, I pray that they would find victory and resolve, hope and encouragement because of what you do in and through their life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.